is a detour.
The roughest distance between two points.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What is a miser?
A man who eats mice.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
It pays to the ignorant.
Proof to all you servicemen and women listening in over there that it does pay to be ignorant, here's another half hour with radio's biggest collection of zanies, the incomparable wits, George Shelton, Lulu McConnell, and Harry McNaughton, our doctor of music, Nat Novick, and the man who sticks his neck out every week at this time, our moderator, Tom Howard.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. From Camp Kilmer, New Brunswick, New Jersey, we bring you that quiz program that is the last word in stupidity. We have a board of experts. We have a board of experts who are so dumb they think an officer's mess is a captain's wife. First, we have the celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled How to Get a 10-Day Pass or You Should Live So Long. Here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
I imagine.
Mary tore her little skirt. The tear was rather wide. She said it was an accident. We all saw Mary's side.
I see.
Very nice.
Okay. Next, we have a woman who, when she arrived here today, one of the boys said, "Look, fellas, a new type tank." A woman who went to the camp barbershop to have her hair cut. Now we call her Baldy. Here she is, Miss Lulu McConnell.
Isn't this a great place, Mr. Howard?
Yes, indeed it is.
I never in my life saw so many nice-looking boys.
Next, we have a man who was turned down by his local draft board because they couldn't find his head. A man who has got to eat garlic to prove that he's breathing. Here he is, Mr. George Shelton.
Oh, is that so? Well, I'll have you know that I was a dollar-a-year man in the last war.
You were a dollar-a-year man in the last war, Mr. Shelton?
Yeah, I was a buck private.
Well, there they are, folks, and I warn you that things won't get any better as we go along. So I won't feel a bit hurt if any of you get up and leave right now. But then again, where are you going to go? Here's the first question. Here's the first question on tonight's program. Let's see if you fellas can answer. Now, pay strict attention. Here it is.
Yeah.
How much beer does a 12-ounce cup hold?
Mr. Howard, would you mind repeating the question?
I'd be glad to. How much beer does a 12-ounce cup hold?
Thank you. Carry on.
Carry on. Oh. Is that all? Mr. Sheldon, would you know how much beer a 12-ounce cup holds?
4 ounces.
4 ounces? I said a 12-ounce cup.
4 ounces. The other 8 ounces are foam.
I see.
That reminds me, I've got to phone my wife.
Cut that out. Please, the question is, how many ounces does the 12-ounce cup hold?
Well, it seems to me that ain't much beer.
Well, Mr. McConnell, would you care to say how many ounces a 12-ounce cup holds?
24 ounces.
How can you get 24 ounces in a 12-ounce cup?
Easy. Fill it up twice.
Fill it up twice.
Oh, very good answer, Miss McConnell. Very good, yes.
Oh, how smart I am.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think I went to school for?
I've often wondered.
Oh, well, do I remember my school days. I used to carry the girls' books home.
And sell them.
Yeah, and sell them. Oh, I didn't know. I did not. I remember one day I took my teacher a little apple.
Yes, did she like the apple?
She sure did. She finished the whole bottle in one slug.
I see.
Well, when I went to school, I always got an A on my report card. And look where I am today. Don't that prove something?
It sure does. It proves you can't go far on an A card. Now, let's get back to the question. How many ounces does a 12-ounce cup of beer hold?
Well, Mr. Howard, tell me, what kind of a cup is it?
What difference does that make? Mm-hmm. Cam Kilmer, I believe they use paper cups.
Paper cups? Well, why don't they use glasses?
No. They're afraid the guys here are so tough they'd eat the glasses up.
I see. That's
I went into a place with a soldier last night at 12:05. I ordered a glass of beer, and the soldier ordered a scotch.
Did he drink it straight?
No, we had 2 MPs as a chaser.
I see.
I was at a party the other night, Mr. Howard, and they served wine. Southern California 28.
Southern California 28? Well, that's a gentleman's drink.
I didn't care. I drank it anyhow.
Thank you, Matt Novick. Now, here's the next question, so stop kidding around and let's try and get one answer.
Yes.
Who wrote Stephen Foster's song, My Old Kentucky Home?
Your old what?
My Old Kentucky Home.
I didn't know that you were from Kentucky.
I'm not from Kentucky.
Well, if you had a home there, you must be from Kentucky.
I didn't say I had a home.
You certainly did. I heard you. I'm not deaf and dumb.
Listen here. Nobody said you were deaf. Now, let's get on. Stephen Foster's song, My Old Kentucky Home.
When I was a little girl, I used to sing that song.
Yeah, when you were a little girl, Stephen Foster wasn't born yet.
Now, wait a minute. How old do you think I am?
Oh, you couldn't be that old.
No.
Well, I'm just around 44.
Must be your second time around. The question is, who wrote Stephen Foster's song, My Old Kentucky Home?
I say, tell me, Miss McConnell, do you know old Black Joe?
Oh, sure.
What's he doing now?
Oh, please. Miss McNaughton, why don't you trade your head in for a booby trap or something?
You know, I remember when I was in vaudeville, I used to be quite a singer myself.
Yeah?
I used to sing, Oh, Bury Me Not in the Lone Prairie.
I bet you had a hard time convincing him not to.
Well, you know, years ago, I used to be quite a singer.
Yeah? What was your best number?
Bryant 99970.
You know, I think I'll have my voice cultivated.
You should have it plowed under.
Is that so? Well, I'll have you know I have a tremendous obbligato.
Why don't you get a bigger girdle?
Did I tell you my old man wrote a song about me?
Your old man wrote a song about you? What was the name of it?
There are such things.
Why don't you shut up, you old slush pup?
Stop, please. Stephen Foster wrote some of America's most beloved folk songs, such as Old Black Joe, Jeannie with the Light Brown Hair, Beautiful Dreamer, My Old Kentucky Home. Now, please, who wrote My Old Kentucky Home?
I think you know, Mr. Howard, I heard a nice Irish song today.
Oh, what's that got to do with it?
How does that go now? Da-da-da, let me see.
What was the name of it?
It was, what was the name of it now? Started with an Irish name.
Started with an Irish name? Was it Mike?
Mike? You mean Mike Country, Tis of the...
Oh, please.
No. It wasn't Mike.
No, wasn't
Mike. Was it Riley?
You mean Riley round the flag, boys?
Oh, please, no.
Wait, was it Kelly?
Kelly, that's it, Kelly. California, here I come.
Ah, please, got it.
Thank you.
contestants, so while Mr. Roberts is getting them in line, we come to our orchestra. An orchestra whose members just blow in their instruments and hope for the best. Dr. Novick mounts the podium, raises his baton, and each member starts playing something different. There they are, Dr. Novick and his orchestra. Take the Holiday, played by Dr. Novick and his mess hall cadets. They are certainly a mess. Who is our first contestant this evening, Mr. Roberts?
Our first contestant tonight, Mr. Howard, is Corporal Joseph Rothenberger of the United States Army.
Oh. Good evening, sir, and welcome to A Page Bigger. How do you feel this evening?
All very fine, thanks.
That's just dandy. Where is your hometown? Would you care to tell us?
I live in New York City.
Oh, New York City you live. Well, that's swell.
New York City?
Yeah.
Well, show me how to get on a train and call me Choo Choo Johnson.
I see.
I used to work in that town.
I thought so.
Yeah, I was a preacher. Preacher in a shoe store.
Yeah?
You were a preacher in a shoe store?
I used to save souls.
Pay no attention to him, Corporal. Never interrupt the bore. He'll think you're listening. How long have you been in the service, Corporal?
Almost 3 years.
Almost 3 years. Congratulations. How do you like it here at Camp Kilmer?
Oh, I like
Never
it.
Mind. Don't mention that. Are you married, sir?
No, I'm not.
You're not married.
Huh? Hey, you know, Corporal, I was in the last war, yes. Well, I remember one day the sergeant said to me, McNaughton, what's the idea of complaining about Army food? Just because you found a little sand in your spinach. Don't you love your country?
What'd you say?
I said, sure I love my country, but I don't want to eat it.
Then what did he say?
He said...
Never mind what he said, we're not interested. Look, we have a guest here. As I said before, pay no attention to them, Corporal. I might say we are certainly mighty, mighty... May I ask you what you did before you entered the service?
I was in the music business.
Oh, you were in the music business?
I must make note of that.
Yeah, make note of that, yes. You worked for a music publisher in New York?
No, I was a musician.
Oh, a musician. What instrument did you play?
Drums.
Drums? Oh, I see. You look a little disgusted. Would that be from listening to our orchestra? Would it be? Well, as I said before, it's a pleasure to have you here with us tonight, and I might say you certainly do make a fine-looking soldier.
Yeah, he sure does. Well, what's your first name, honey?
What?
Joseph.
Joseph.
Is that a cute name,
yes.
Joseph? Yes. I just love. Isn't he a cute kid too?
Yes, he is.
Never mind. Well, you can just call me Baseball. I got lots of curves.
Yeah. And you've been batted around a lot too. Would you do us a favor, Joseph, and reach into the dunce cap that Johnny holds and pick out a question for us? And would you be kind enough to read the question, if you will, please?
How many days are there in a 3-day pass?
Very good. You heard the question, gentlemen. See if you can answer it. How many days are there in a 3-day pass?
You know, that question is going to be hard to get.
Yeah.
So is the pass.
Yeah.
There's a... Mr. Howard, I hate to ask you, but what was the question?
Mr. May, are you paying attention?
Oh, that's an easy question. The answer is no.
I thought so.
What was the question?
The question was, do you suffer from stupidity?
That is not the question. The question is, how many days are there in a 3-day pass?
What 3 days did you have in mind, Mr. Howard?
No, you don't have to name the days. Just give me the answer, the number of the days in a 3-day pass.
In the first place, where are you going to get a 3-day pass?
I see.
Oh, Mr. McConnell, that's easy. All you do is go up to your commanding officer and say, pardon me, sir, but I'd like to have a 3-day pass, you see? Mm-hmm. Then he says to you, are you sure 3 days will be enough? You see, and then you say, well, sir, better make it 10 days, you see? Then he says to you, come now. You can't go anywhere in 10 days. Why don't you take a 30-day pass?
Mr. McNaughton, you're just daffy.
Well, I can dream, can't I?
Yeah, I can dream.
But when you wake up, you're going to be awfully disappointed.
You can say that again.
Can I? Oh, thanks. When you wake up, you're going to be awfully...
Oh, wait a minute. Will you say it?
She said I could say it.
Never mind, you third-rate morons. Will you shut your mouth? We have a question here. The pass will be up before we answer it. How many days are there in a 3-day pass?
Who do they give the passes to, Mr. Howard?
They give them to servicemen.
Servicemen?
Yes.
You like servicemen, Miss McConnell?
Yeah. What are they going to serve me a couple?
I see. Miss McConnell, if you ever get a chance to lead your life over again, don't do it, please.
You know, I'm always thinking about soldiers and sailors, except when I'm asleep. I'll have to stop it.
Stop thinking?
No, stop sleeping.
I wish you'd stop breathing.
There's no future in that.
No.
You know, I held my breath for 3 minutes once.
Well, hold it for 30 days. If no one calls for it, it's yours. Thank you. exactly.
Our next guest this evening, Mr. Howard, is Private First Class Anita Appel of the Women's Army Corps.
Good. Good evening, Miss Appel, and welcome to It Pays Bigger. How do you feel, Miss Appel?
Solid.
Solid. My boy, you certainly do look it.
Boy, I like her. I like her.
I imagine.
Oh, I could go to the end of the world with her.
I see. But would you stay there?
Mr. Howard, I was out with a very unusual girl last night.
You were?
She had two ears.
Wait a minute. Two ears? What's unusual about that? What's the idea? That's nothing unusual for a girl to have two ears, Mr.
Yes, I know, but not on the same side.
Ah. Pay no attention to Miss Appel. Where's your hometown, would you care to tell us?
Manhattan, New York City.
Ah, boy, you seem to be proud of that, too. How long have you been in the service?
Going out about a year.
A year in the service? My, that's marvelous. And you're from New York City? What'd you do before you entered the service? Huh?
A little bit of everything.
Oh, a little bit of everything.
Yes,
you made hash?
No, sir.
Oh, you didn't make hash, I see. Are you married?
No, sir.
Oh, you're not married. You say that as if you really meant it, huh? Are you any relation to Miss McConnell?
No, sir.
I didn't think you were. You have a face.
Yeah, you know, Butch, I think Butch looks just stunning in her uniform.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, how do you like my dress, honey? Huh?
Stunning.
It's funny. Well, I paid $28.14 for it.
14 and a half cents? How'd you get such an odd figure?
I eat too much.
You talk too much, too. In fact, you are too much. Butch, you don't mind me calling you Butch, do you?
That's my name, sir.
That's your name? Good. Well, Butch, would you kindly reach into the dunce cap and pick out a question for us? And we'd like you to read the question, if you don't mind. Just read it into the microphone there.
Who invented the Morse code?
Well, thank you a lot. Who invented the Morse code? Do you know what a code is, Miss McConnell?
Oh, sure. I got one right now.
You got what?
I've been sneezing all day.
I see. I said code.
I know code. I got a code of my dough.
Ain't that
right? I'm afraid it's going down into my chest.
Say, I know a sure way of keeping the code from going down in your chest.
How?
Tie a knot in your neck.
Yeah, would you kindly cut out the horseplay? Who invented the Morse code?
Morse. Mr. Howard, isn't that one of those animals with the antlers on top of his head?
No. You're thinking of moose.
I am?
Yeah, moose.
Now, why on earth would I be thinking about a moose?
I don't know.
Of all things.
I see.
A moose, that's a fellow belongs to a lodge.
All right. But I'm not talking about a moose.
Mr. Howard, do you mean no moose is good moose?
There we go, into those puns. No, that's terrible.
He means the Rolling Stone gathers no moose.
That's moss. That's the Rolling Stone gathers no moss.
Yeah, why?
What?
Why doesn't the Rolling Stone gather no moss?
Mr. McNaught, the next time you buy a new hat, get one with a built-in brain, will you?
Pleasure. What size?
Let's try and answer the question. Who invented the Morse code? Look, answer me this. Who made it possible for news to travel fast?
Oh, my wife.
Your wife. Let's get on here.
I say, you know, Mr. Howard, I'm working on an invention right now.
Yeah, Harry, what is it?
Well, it's got a handle on it like a revolver.
Yeah.
And it's got a trigger on it like a revolver.
Yeah.
It's got a place to put bullets in just like a revolver.
Yeah, what are you going to call it?
A revolver.
What were you going to say, Miss McCown?
Well, I was just going to say that my old man invented a phonograph to take care of babies.
Yeah.
A phonograph to take care of babies?
Yeah. It has an automatic changer.
Oh, very good.
Hey, you. I'm somewhat of an inventor myself, Mr. Howard.
You are?
Yeah, you know, I invented dehydrated water.
My word, dehydrated water? Never heard of it.
Oh, that's water with the moisture taken out.
Oh, wait a minute. Water with moisture taken out?
Yeah. Now, say you were out on a desert and there's no water.
Yes.
You just take one of my little tablets and drop it in a glass of water, and presto, you'll have a glass of water.
Wait a minute. Why are you going to get a glass of water on the desert in the first place?
Well, if there's no water in the first place, you go to the second place.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Sheldon, you said, old boy, that you're out on a desert with no water, so what good are your dehydrated tablets?
Well, you wait till it rains.
Wait till it rains. If it rains, you have water.
Well, then, in that case, you don't need my dehydrated tablets.
Mr. Sheldon, pardon my southern accent, but you're a sap.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead and laugh. Go ahead. They laughed at old Henry, but he went right ahead and invented the candy bar.
Yeah. Yeah, rather, and it was the nuts.
That's all. Be with us again next week and hear it proven again by Tom Howard, Lulu McConnell, George Shelton, and Harry McNaughton that it pays to be ignorant. Ken Roberts speaking. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.